Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Beautiful Christmas music. Thank you, Minister McFarland. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Thank you, Mid-Morning Choir. And everybody, let's show some love to Zachary Killian on the drums. Amen. So glad to see Zach playing. Let's go to John chapter 1. I came out in my mask because I wanted to remind everybody the COVID numbers are back up, and they are, you know, jumping up. I think it was 178 hospitalizations last week. So I just wanted to let you all know to be careful. We're not requiring any masks for church, but we just wanted you all to know to just be careful because the new strand is seemingly taking hold of a number of people. All right. So we're going to go to John chapter 1. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 1. And it says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word," or Christ. "And the Word was with God. And the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him. And without Him was not even one thing made that has come into being." I'm going to stop right there. God's word for God's people. We're in the season where we celebrate what's known as the incarnation. Now, you may have seen this term a number of places, like certain schools, or they have the name incarnate word. And you may see incarnation now. I know most of you probably know what it means, but just for those who do not, it means that someone divine has been manifested in the flesh. The divine has been manifested in the flesh. This is imperative because we want you to continue to meditate on, during this period, focusing on His incarnation, that God, the Word, was God before He became Jesus the Christ. God, the Word, is who He is. Jesus the Christ, not Jesus Christ. Christ ain't His last name, like Thomas or whatever. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one. That's what Christ means. It's the Greek word Christos. He is God in flesh. But before He became flesh, He was God the Word. Philippians 2 tells us He was equal in position with God the Father. He and the Father were equal. That's why John was saying the Word was with God and the Word was God. It is when He followed His assignment to come down here as a man, that he stepped down from being God the Word and was born into this earthly existence, there becoming Jesus the Christ. But understand, before he was Jesus the Christ, he was God the Word. Why am I saying that? Because he is the one who created all things. All things. And that is why when we come here, I wanted to share with you, why did he have to become flesh? Why did he have to become a man? Well, let me put it this way. Why did he choose to become flesh? Why did he choose to become a human being? First of all, he became a human being so that he could fulfill the prophecy in Genesis 3. In Genesis 3, when the Adams fell, if you remember, God told them, from here on, the woman's desire is going to be to the man. But remember what he said to the serpent, or the serpentine being. He said, your seed will bruise the head of the seed of the woman. As we told you before, women don't carry seeds, they carry eggs. So when it's talking about the seed, that was the very first prophecy about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You continue into the book of Genesis, and there you find where God made a promise to Abraham that through his seed, all of the nations shall be blessed. We read in Galatians where it says he was not talking about many individuals. He was talking about only one. The seed of Abraham is the same seed of the woman who became the Son of God. And so that's why, as I told him this morning, when you look at seed and look at the Son, there is no coincidence that both of those words start with a capital S, because they are both referring to the same individual. And he had to become the seed of Abraham in order for us to become the children of God. Are y'all understanding? So he had to take off divinity, put on humanity, because as a human being on the cross, he's our sacrifice. As a human being praying for us in the garden, he is our high priest. But he had to go back to heaven as a human being, because there he is our representative. Are y'all understanding? That's why it is imperative for us to understand. We aren't celebrating a baby. We are celebrating God, the Word, following the commands of God the Father in order to make us God's children. All right? So understand that. Amen. Amen. And so communion is us agreeing with that plan and telling God, we not only agree with the plan, but we thank you for including us in the plan. That's what this is all about. Amen? Amen. 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 So take a moment now to thank God for choosing to reveal himself to you. And for the Holy Spirit changing you from what you were into who you are and who you will become. On the night our Savior was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it and blessed it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us eat together." Likewise, he took the cup, he blessed the cup, and he said, "This is the blood of the New Testament. This is the blood that ratified the process we're talking about." We do this to remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection until his return. Let's drink together. Amen. Let's try that again. Go ahead and give him some praise for what he has done. Ushers, if anyone is in the vestibule, Okay. Praise the Lord. I thought you said Pastor Barner. I'm sorry. Anybody coming in can come in at this time. Hey, Sister McClellan, how you doing? It's so good to see you. We've been missing you. Let Sister McClellan back with us today, y'all. Give God some praise for her. Richard soul shall find, one day we'll find a rest beyond the reef. Who would ever like to come to the altar may come at this time. Jesus, keep me near cross. There's a precious fountain free to all a healing stream. I'm so glad it flows from Calvary's. Oh God, our Father, thank you so much for such an ingenious plan to bring wretches like us into the holiness of your presence. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for choosing us. And we thank you for even making us. Because we know that we did not have to be created. But we thank you for our being, and we thank you most importantly that we were created so that we could give you glory and we could give you honor. Oh, our God, you have been so good to each of us. And I don't mean just the things that we can remember. No, before the world was ever created, we thank you for choosing us and writing our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Heavenly Master, that regardless of our human frailties and regardless of the mistakes we have made, we'll continue to make, regardless of our faults, thank you for being a God who can look past our faults and still give us what we need. Not only that, but you can forgive us of our faults and our shortcomings and clothe us with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Thank you for allowing us to see your face and your goodness and to see how kind you are, how faithful you are, how compassionate you are, how long-suffering you are, how loving you are, and how nobody can love us as intensely as you do. Oh, Father in heaven, help us to recognize that we were not created for ourselves, but we were created so somebody else can see you in us and see you through us. And we thank you, Heavenly Master, that you already have a home waiting for us where you are for all eternity. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to earn it. But we thank you for grace. And in doing so, Heavenly Master, help us to remember that no, we're not celebrating a baby. We are celebrating the incarnation of God, the Word. And we are celebrating the one who said, I am that I am. We are celebrating the one who told Moses, I am. We're celebrating the one who told John, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We're celebrating the one who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're celebrating the one who will come back with all power in his hand. And we are so thankful that you chose to put us on your side. You chose to allow us to experience your victory. We thank you that because of you, we are now the seed of Abraham. We are now the children of the Most High God. And we ask you every day to make us more and more grateful as we see you more clearly and learn to love you more dearly. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and give thanks. Amen.
You can't. cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
You came from heaven to earth to show.
Praise you.
Mercy toward us, we are
and your mercy toward us. We offer praise. We offer praise. We
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Y'all give God a hallelujah if you don't mind. Father in heaven, we thank you and surrender ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Minister McFarland, Brother Zachary, Dr. Jones, Mid-Morning Choir. Thank you very much. Oh, that's such a beautiful song. My favorite. I am so glad to hear that. Wow, that's why I keep getting Zachary and Harrison confused, because Zach just shot up. Man. Yes, Lord. But Zachary did a good job, did he not? Y'all give God some praise. Was that good job, Zachary? Good job, Zachary. All right. Let's go to Colossians 1. Colossians 1. We want to talk today as we get into and as we started our conversation, Deacon Rico, on why we celebrate God as the Word. Because remember, for those of us who have read over the last week or so, when you read in Revelation, it says when he comes back, that's the name that's going to be on his thigh, the Word of God. And so, why do we celebrate that? Why is that important? And why should the Word have preeminence in our lives, in every aspect of our being? Colossians, the first chapter, beginning at verse number 11. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and he says, "We pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power according to the might of what?
His glory.
His glory. Whose glory?
His glory.
Say that one more time.
His glory.
Okay. Not ours. Not anybody else's. His glory. According to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of what?
Endurance.
And what?
Patience.
Perseverance and forbearance with what?
Joy.
There's your prayer. There's your prayer when you're going through. Remember that when you are going through certain trials in your life, the trial has a begin date and an end date. But it is not if the trial will end. The key is, how are you going to go through it? This is where he's telling you, pray for endurance. Y'all see this? It says at the very first beginning of that verse, we pray for what? Endurance and patience, and that in the midst of it, God gives me joy. All right? Amen. I ain't get too many amen. I don't care. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes.
And then, how do you give joy? Look at the next verse. Giving. I wish I had some witnesses in here. Giving what? What you want to thank him for? Your car? Thank him for your house? Thank him because he has qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the what? Inheritance of who? The saints. Told you that before. Long time ago. Stop calling yourself a sinner. A sinner is somebody who practices sin habitually and intentionally. You are a saint now under reconstruction. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You are a saint undergoing reconstruction. You are being recreated in Jesus' image. And you are not intentionally trying to do anything to hurt him or to hurt his body. Sinners intend to inflict harm. Saints make mistakes. Sinners intend to hurt. Saints are the ones who have issues because of their faults that the Lord is working on. So he's healing you in the process, but he can't heal what ain't sick. Which is why the church is a hospital. Hello, y'all hear me? You don't come to church looking for perfect folk. You ain't gonna find them here. Well, aside from Deacon Emerson, well, no, I better not say nothing about Deacon Emerson because you know his head will get too big. But you ain't gonna find them here. You're gonna find people with messed up attitudes. You're gonna find people that, why? Because you find in the church you have broken individuals who are in the process of being remade in Jesus' image. It does not happen overnight. Understand that. Understand that. Now, the thing about the difference between a sinner and a saint is that when a saint finds out what the Lord says, a saint will make up their mind to obey his will. Y'all here?
Yes, sir.
Keep reading. Giving thanks for the Father who has made us qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in the light. Stop here. Are y'all glad that the Lord made you fit? Because you wasn't fit. Y'all glad the Lord? Amen. We are unfit to receive anything from the Lord. We sin and don't even know what we've done. We do things that offend him, and we didn't even know we had done them. The thing is, God is so merciful, and he is so kind, and he is so loving, to the point where he made us broken so that we won't make ourselves our own gods. But in the process of our brokenness, he will still forgive us and mold us into his image. Even though we still make mistakes and do things wrong, he's the one that gives us a heart to follow him. That's why we walk by grace. Grace is where God, woo, I love grace, oh Lord have mercy. And why is grace amazing? Because God has chosen to have favor on you regardless of what you've done. Are y'all here with me?
Yes.
Lord have mercy. He's chosen to look upon you with favor as broken as you are.
Yes.
to look upon you with favor, as messed up as you are, to look upon you with favor, even when you were doing things in your past and knew you were doing wrong. He could easily have kicked you to the curb. He could easily have taken his angels away and told the devil, you can go ahead and take him. But because you were chosen as a vessel of his mercy and as a trophy of his kindness, he told the angels, I know they don't deserve it, but stick around anyway, because one day I'm going to show them who they are and show them who I am. Are y'all hearing me in here? That's why grace is amazing. That's why he deserves all of the glory. What did we just sing? You are worthy of all glory, all honor, all power. When it comes to the church, ain't no human beings and ain't no human names that's supposed to get glory. This ain't hit our church. This is his church. Are y'all hearing me? All that man-made stuff, we're going to show you. All that man-made stuff people practicing don't even know. You practicing idolatry. God said, I ain't giving my glory to nobody else. All right, y'all, let's go. Verse number 13. The Father has delivered and drawn us to him. Oh. You didn't reach out and choose him. He didn't, he not only pulled you out of where you were. I don't know. Has anybody been pulled out of where you were? And who you used to be? And how you used to think? And how you used to conduct yourself? Anybody been pulled out? Delivered. And then he didn't just deliver you and throw you out there. He delivered you and started bringing you closer to him. Why would a holy God want to be close to somebody like me? That's the question you should ask. And the answer is, because his love is bigger than anything you can comprehend. And he didn't do it because you love him. Oh, y'all ain't. Is anybody listening to me up in here? I feel like running, but I ain't got nobody to run with me. You see what I'm saying? This didn't happen because you loved him. Ephesians 2 says he's doing all of this because of his intense love for you. Why do you love Jesus now? Because of intense love. Why do you want to obey Jesus now? Because of some intense love. Not only did he draw you to him, but he put his love in your heart. You know why? You don't know how to love him properly. So the Lord, that's why the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Because he's got to put his love in you in order for you to love him the way he should be loved. All right, y'all. Verse number, the Father has delivered us, 13, and drawn himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us. I wish somebody. Is anybody else excited? Am I the only one excited about all of this up in here? transferred us into what? Stop. Into the what? Kingdom. You know what a kingdom is? A kingdom is a place that has a king. Jesus ain't your road dog. Jesus ain't the man upstairs. He's the king. Y'all here?
Yes.
The kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption. Adam sold us, and Jesus bought us back.
Yes.
Are y'all here with me?
Yes.
And look what it said. Through His blood, which means the forgiveness. That means past,
yes,
present, and future.
Yes.
Even if the Lord knows in my heart that I really wish Dr. Jones mess up and put that jacket down. The Lord knows I'm apt to take it, but He loves me anyway. Are y'all beginning to understand the depth of His grace? Do y'all understand we got something we didn't deserve? Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
Come on, y'all, so we can finish here for today. Look at verse number, verse number 15. Now, He is the exact likeness of who? He is the visible representation. Now, this is old news to y'all, but just for those who ain't too sure. In the Garden of Eden, when the Adams were hiding, they weren't hiding from God the Father. Because you can't hide from what you can't see. When Noah got a word about building a boat, he didn't get the word from God the Father. When Moses was talking in that burning tree, because I explained to y'all what it was. It wasn't no bush you got in the yard. It was one of those trees like what you see in the African Serengeti. And somebody was standing in that tree in the midst of the fire. That wasn't God the Father. When Moses got to the Red Sea and asked, "What should I do?" And a voice told him, "Stretch out your rod." That wasn't God the Father. When Ezekiel was on the river Shebar and he looked up and he saw a tornado of fire, coming out of that tornado was a throne. Around the throne were four living creatures that had four faces, one of an ox, one of a lion, one of an eagle, and one of a man. And above them was somebody sitting on the throne. Looked like fire from his loins up. And they were on top of what looked like wheels in the middle of wheels. That wasn't God the Father. Is anybody here?
Yes.
When you see Abraham having a conversation with God, before the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham was sitting there talking, and Abraham said, if you find 50, will you spare it? If you find 40, will you spare it? What about 30? What about 20? 15? Can you find 10? He wasn't talking to God the Father. There's a reason Jesus says, I am the beginning. There's a reason why he said, I am Alpha. There's a reason why he told those disciples around him, nobody has ever seen the Father, and you have never heard his voice. Because all of that time in the Old Testament, that was God, the Word. That's why at the end of the age, in Revelation 5, the Father is going to give the Son the title deed to the earth. Because he made it all, he controls it all, and he will be the one to judge it all. Are y'all listening?
Yes.
Come on, let's keep reading. Verse number 16. I know the last part of 15 says he's the firstborn of all creation. That means he has preeminence over everything. Look at verse 16. For it was in him that what?
All things were created.
Where?
In
things what?
Seen
and things unseen, whether what? Thrones or what? Dominions, rulers, or authority. Now y'all already know we're talking about spiritual princes. So what is he saying? Whatever demonic entity comes up in your life, remember, I made it. That's why in Mark 5, when the demons possessed this man in the graveyard in the country of the Gazareans, that's why when the demons saw Jesus, the demons moved the man to run to Jesus, fall flat on his face and worship. Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes.
Move the demons. The demons, they know they're going to hell because remember, they told Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? They know it ain't no chance for them to get saved. They know that their names ain't in nobody's book. But the demons had sense enough to know who he was. The demons worshiped and submitted because they knew who he was. Knowing that salvation is not possible. So what should God expect from those he's given salvation to? If the ones who ain't got it know to bow before him.
Right? All right.
Is anybody listening to me?
Yes.
The ones who know you've been chosen but did not deserve to be. The ones whose lives have already forfeited salvation. But instead of justice, he threw in mercy.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
That's what it means when it says examine yourself. Come on, y'all. All, the last part of verse 16. All things. It did say all things, didn't it?
Yes.
Were created and what? By his service, by his intervention, and in. Oh, what were those last three words? Oh, all things were created. Were you created?
Yes.
So, who were you created for? No, 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 no. I thought the gospel was about me. I thought the church was about me and my faux pas. I thought he existed so he could serve me. That's the gospel I want to hear. That's why I'm going to stop coming here and go somewhere else. I want to hear a gospel that lets me know it's for me. Well, you can go hear one. It's going to be a lie. And everything exists, which means every atom and every molecule in your body and in all existence. It exists because he is holding it together. You want to know why Jesus would say sometimes, he'd say, I'm in the Father. Now, how can you be in the Father? And, woo, Lord have mercy, how can you be in the Father but you down here with us? How can you be in the Father, but you suffering and getting beaten? How can you be in the Father? Now, you may know the Father, but how can you be in the Father? Because his divinity was still connected to the Father's omnipresence. Which means while he was getting beaten, he was still making sure that Saturn didn't turn and run into Jupiter.
All right.
While he was hanging, he still made sure that the Milky Way did not get out of course and run into Andromeda. While he was dying as a human, he was still upholding things as God. Even the molecules and the atoms of the very ones who were mocking and beating him. How can you hang as a human and still sustain as God? Unless you got all power. And if he's got all power, and if he's in you, that's why he said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. You've forgotten who you got. Well, Lord, don't you know what's going on? Well, I do, because the Bible says he not only put things there, but he arranged everything in its order, including time. That's why he ain't never late. You can't be late for what you created.
Yeah.
Are y'all here with me?
Yes.
Come on, y'all. Ooh, I still got some. Well, anyway, come on. Verse number 17. And he himself existed when? And in him, what? Consist, which means they cohere and they are held. God's word is holding your skin on your bones. His word is the one making sure your eyes don't fall out of your sockets. If it exists, he made it. If it's being held together, it's because he's doing it. Now you understand how it's only a reprobate mind that can try to fight somebody like that. Truly insane. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
But look at here. What did we read? What did we read last week? We read last week, though. There are some people, many in fact, who were created to rebel. So that when he crushes them, his power can be on display. Now keep that in mind. That's what they were created for. Remember how we read in Revelation 17 that when they follow the Antichrist, all of the ones, because remember some of y'all got scared, all of the ones who were following the Antichrist are individuals. Y'all ready for this? Tracy, you ain't ready for it? You went to class. Look here, y'all. All of the ones, Deacon Cornelius, that are going to follow the Antichrist, the book says, are those whose names have never been written . It did not say whose names had been erased. Revelation 13 and 17 specifically says their names have never been written. They were not created to be saved. But I thought John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, whosoever believe. Well, I believe, but do you understand that 2 Thessalonians told you God has got to give you belief?